Morning. So excited this morning to have with us Brother Chad Landman. He comes to us from Columbia, Tennessee. He is the educational minister at the Graymere Church of Christ. Chad is here this beautiful Sunday, beautiful rainy Sunday, I guess we should say, to present us information on what he calls the Active Digital Parenting Seminar. We invite everyone to stay this afternoon. He'll be presenting more of his information from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock this afternoon. Just a few things about Chad. He's originally from Huntsville, Alabama. He is a veteran of the U.S. Marines from the year 2000 to 2004. He's a 2008 graduate from Freed Hardeman University. He did work for 7 years as a youth minister, so he has that background. He did a wonderful job this morning teaching to our youth on ways to glorify God using technology during the Bible class hour. He's married to his lovely bride, Bonnie, and he has three boys, Jacob, David, and Micah. So, Chad, we're excited to have you, and let's learn about the Word of God.
Thank you, Nick. I was telling him earlier that this is not my first time in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. I spent 2 summers in Paris, Kentucky, outside of Lexington, as the youth intern slash youth minister at the Paris Church of Christ there. And I was reminded of a story one summer. That was my second summer, actually. I went to visit one of our old widows that was in a nursing home. And I took a couple of kids with me on a Saturday, and I walked in. And I was there to visit, and the lady said, she said, "Oh, you've got perfect timing. It's the halftime of the Kentucky basketball game." And she had it on her TV. She muted it. We talked for a few minutes. And then I could not I could see her eyes gravitating towards the TV. She unmuted it. Halftime was over. She abruptly ended the conversation and said, "Well, thank you for coming." And so you guys take your basketball seriously. We take our football seriously down in Alabama. The first Sunday I was actually in Kentucky, a guy said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Huntsville, Alabama." He said, "Oh, I hear they're trying to start a football team down there." So, yeah, it goes both ways this morning. But I'm very, very glad to be with you all day. I'm looking forward to our entire day as we talk about digital parenting. If you don't think that that applies to you as a parent or a grandparent, I would say that you might be mistaken, because I think that these apps and these devices and the internet and all these different things that we're going to talk about today is universal. And so I want to implore you to stay this afternoon as we're going to be talking through some of that. Most of what you'll find is incredibly practical. It's not incredibly technical, and I think you'll get a benefit from it as well. We're going to be talking about social media. We're going to be talking about dangerous apps for kids. And then our last session is we're going to talk about how to secure your home, secure your Wi-Fi, and secure all of your children's and even your family's devices. And so I'm excited to be with you here today. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Psalm 127:1. Psalm 127. This morning we're going to talk about building our homes with God and digital parenting in mind. And those things go hand in hand. Psalm 127:1 simply says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." This will be my 34th time speaking about technology and speaking about digital parenting in the last 3 years. And I'm not so young to remember. I was asking the kids how old they thought I was, and there was many varied responses. But I am not so young that I don't remember what it was like to not have universal access to every bit of information everywhere. I remember when we got the internet, quote unquote, in our home. I remember those different things. And Psalm 127:1 has become a mission statement, because so many parents look at devices and these devices and these smartphones in our children's hands and in our own hands, and they look at the safety and security of those as almost an afterthought. when we think we know and we think we have become lazy in some access, some of those points. Some of us as parents, and I'm speaking directly to parents this morning, some of us as parents have gotten a little bit lazy with that, and we tell ourselves excuses. Like, my child knows better than that. Or I have taught them better than that. And I honestly think that that's the devil talking to us. I honestly think that the devil is trying to lull us into that false sense of security so that we will become lazy. And that we will become not reliant and we don't do the things that are necessary to protect our children while they're on these devices. Psalm 127:1 means that every brick, that every piece of concrete, every shingle, every part of the home should fall under the Lord's provision. It should fall under the Lord's guidance, and that includes the various internet safety, device safety, and protecting your children. We are our children's protectors as parents, not necessarily their friends. We need to understand that. If we fail to protect our children, then the Lord isn't building our homes in the proper way. And the verse says, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. If the Lord doesn't have a part of every single part of building the home, then we're building it. It doesn't matter. So the entire purpose of today is to empower you to become a better digital parent. I want you to think about a couple of different things before we get started. I want you to think about how much has changed in just the last few years. Albert Mohler says this. He says, the digital age is upon us. He said this in 2013. In the span of less than 3 decades, we have redefined the way that humans communicate, entertain, inform, research, create, and connect. And what we know now is only a hint of what is to come. I find that quote both scary and amazing at the same time. Kids born in the last decade will never know, let's go to the next slide, what it's not like to not be constantly connected. They will never know a world without smartphones. They will never know a world without screens and access to all information that they could ever want. Think about these. Remember these right here? Remember the payphone booths, telephone booths? Remember America Online? Some of you who are older, maybe 35 plus, you remember those things. You remember having to go sit down at a computer and sign on to the internet and get that crazy screeching sound and all to check your email. It took you 5 minutes to check one email, right? And that's all you were really able to do. I love the payphone thing because I was talking to several kids in a class several years ago about a story about involving a payphone. I said, you know, a payphone, you know, you go put a quarter in. And back in my day, I had a beeper in high school. No joke. Had a beeper in high school before cell phones came ubiquitous. And so I had a beeper, so I had to find a phone to call my mom and tell her where I was at because also GPS didn't exist. And so I was telling the kids about this payphone, about going in, putting a quarter in this payphone and paying for it. And they just were looking at me like, what is that? And I said, you know, a payphone. Like you put a quarter in a payphone, you make a phone call. And they said, you mean like a AT&T pay-as-you-go phone? And I'm like, no, not a pay-as-you-go phone, just a payphone. And they just didn't understand. And that is what we're kind of, in a negative or positive way, that's kind of what we're up against. Is that the technology has changed and come so far so fast that the world 20 and 30 years ago looks nothing like it does now. So think about that for a second. Think about if I was to come back to Glasgow here and bring an iPhone. If I was to go back 100 years to this community and bring an iPhone, and I showed them everything that it could do. I showed them all the ways that you could communicate with one another, all the cool slow motion videos and all the funny things that you could watch and all the information that you could get a hold of. And I would say something really profound because the people would be super interested. And I'd say something really profound. I'd say, with this device, I can access the wealth of all human knowledge. And then they would ask the inevitable question. They'd say, well, what do you use it to look at? And I'd say, well, I usually mostly use it to look at cat pictures. I joke around about that. But parents, grandparents, guardians in the audience this morning, we are putting devices in our children's hands that can access the wealth of all human knowledge. What kind of boundaries do we have set? What kind of restrictions do you have in place? Do you have any of those things in place? We're going to talk a lot this afternoon about tools, both complex and simple, that you can use in your home today. I'm going to give you a couple of kind of things that we can talk about at the end of the sermon this morning that you can go home today and do that cost you nothing. Simple things that you can implement in your homes. So when we think about this, we need to think about what we're doing and how we're protecting our children. Let's go to the first excuse that we as parents need to realize. A few things that as parents we need to realize today is that we can never use the excuse that we didn't know. We can never use that excuse. This day and age, we can't use that excuse. Back in my first full year of ministry, about 12 years ago, I had a little $4,500 mistake with my taxes. And I say mistake because I wasn't fully aware of the implications that a minister's taxes have on certain things. I didn't know. Freed Hardman, either I didn't pay attention in that class. Probably I wasn't paying attention in that class. But I did not have that information. I didn't know. It existed. It was out there. But when I did my taxes, my accountant says, "You owe $4,500. And I said, "Excuse me? I've been married for less than a year. How much money do you think I have?" And what did I do for the IRS? How sympathetic do you think the IRS was? They weren't. Spoiler, they weren't. And my excuse was, I didn't know. And as parents, we may say things like that. We may say, "Well, I didn't know that app could do that. Well, I didn't know that my child had this on his phone. I didn't know that." It doesn't matter if you didn't know. You should have known. And that's tough when we have to have something like that. When we look at the book of Hosea, Hosea 4:6 kind of alludes to this thing that the children of Israel were going through. They were going through this tumultuous time, and they had rejected the knowledge of God. And God said that his people would be destroyed. He didn't even mince words. He didn't say they're going to be set back. He didn't say that they're going to be held back a little bit. He said that they would be destroyed for what? Their lack of knowledge. Your children are going to hurt and are going to make mistakes, of course. But are they going to hurt more and make more mistakes because of your lack of knowledge? The knowledge is out there. We just have to find it. We have to educate ourselves. Today is all part of that. If you want to educate yourselves and get some practical solutions for the things that you can, how you can be proactive and protect your family, then this is the day for you. The second thing I think we need to realize here is that your child does not yet have the experience and willpower to keep themselves in check on the internet, on their device. And frankly, we know some adults that don't have the experience and willpower to keep themselves in check on the internet. I want to show you a picture of my beautiful boys here. The little one right there clapping with his hands blurry is my youngest. The one sitting kind of to, let's see if I can do this. The one sitting to my, the one that's in the foreground right here who's holding something, who's right next to my, I guess, my watch and my arm. That's David. He's 3 years old. If you've ever had a three-year-old boy, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that he is at the stage right now where I can give him my sternest Marine Corps dad look, and I can look at him, and I can point at him and say, "Come here now." And he will smile at me, turn around, and run the opposite direction. Never in my right mind would I take him to a park that didn't have a fence, that was next to a busy highway, and not watch what he did and just hope that he didn't get hurt. I wouldn't do that with any of my boys. And I don't think that you as a parent would do that with any of your boys. So why are we giving 10-year-olds unlocked and unprotected devices? Why aren't we giving kids Christmas gifts with devices and iPads and Kindle Fire tablets and all these other technology things that can access all sorts of things and not setting boundaries and fences in place before they even get their hands on it? We have to do the work as parents, and we have to protect our children. When we go and we look at all these different things, there's some things and some statistics that we can look at. As of June 2017, there were 980 million websites on the internet. That's not web pages, that's websites. That's a lot of information. And I'm going to pick on pornography here for a minute because it's the one that we most readily identify with as being the bad stuff on the internet. But you think about this number right here, 52,337 of those were dedicated to sex sites. That may seem like big numbers. That's less than 0.5% of the internet. You may have heard statistics before that said 60% of the internet is dedicated to pornography. That's not correct at all. As far as some of the next statistics that we have, the number, we don't need to be concerned about this number so much as we need to be concerned about that number. 1 in 5 searches made on a mobile device are for pornography. 1 in 5, 20%. It's a staggering number when you think about it. A few quotes here that I have from people that are much, much smarter than me. The first is from Dr. Patrick Fagan. He says, adolescents who view pornography feel shame, diminished self-confidence, and sexual uncertainty. I don't think we need any more sexual uncertainty in our culture, do we? Most definitely not with our children. Porn use by our youth is a greater threat to our national well-being than our economy. If we get connected with porn early in life, it alters our ability to relate. We don't want our children having their ability to relate altered, do we? The next one says a significant relationship exists between frequent pornography use and feelings of loneliness, including major depression in adolescents. We're talking about 13 to 18-year-olds exhibiting major depression because of what they were looking at on their screens. And the last one is the one that we as parents need to pay the most attention to. Parents are the weak link in the chain when it comes to protecting our children. It all comes down to us. And I will tell you right now that most of these screen issues, it's not the device's fault. It's not the technology's fault. This is not a technology issue. It's a parenting issue. And your good, godly parenting will go much farther than you ever thought possible. If you teach your kids to be good, responsible digital citizens, Lonnie Jones talks a lot about developing a spiritually self-reliant young person, a person that when they turn age 18 and they go off to school or wherever it is they're going to go, that they're going to be able to make conscious decisions about their spiritual life. They're going to do what is right because you taught them the right way. And I've taken that idea and adapted it to say responsible digital citizens as well. We need to teach our kids to be responsible digital citizens along with being spiritually self-reliant. We want our kids to go, and when they're done, when we're done being a full-time parent to them, when they go off to college and get married and do all the things that they do, that they will be responsible and do the things that they need to do, that are responsible to use these tools for the glory of God, like we talked about in Bible class this morning. Parents are the weak link in the chain. This one right here scares me very much. The average age of first exposure to internet pornography is 8 years old. 5, 6 years ago, that number was 11 years old. Why do you think the average has dropped so significantly? It's because we've had screens and smartphones and ubiquitous access to the internet in our pockets. When we think about that, let's move on. Next slide, please. I could talk about this one for a long time. We as parents need to teach our kids that privacy is an absolute illusion. Privacy on the internet for any purpose and any whatsoever, doesn't matter if it's in an app, doesn't matter if it's on your phone, doesn't matter if it's on a computer screen or an iPad, privacy is an illusion. It doesn't exist. When we think about that, I want to talk about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 is one of those passages that I really think about a lot. Because that passage, if you turn to it, and let's go ahead and read it there, it says, no creature is hidden from God's sight, from the sight of God. All are naked and exposed, to whom we must give an account, to whom he whom we must give an account. Even if you could hide everything, and this is universal, this is for adults, this is for children, this is for anybody that has a smartphone in your pocket. Even if we could hide everything from everybody, if we could hide it from our church and from our family and from our job and from the government and from our school, even if we could hide it from everyone on this earth, you can't. But even if we could, we still wouldn't be able to hide those things from God. God knows everything. He knows everything that we type. He knows everything that we send. He knows everything that we like. And we're going to be called to give an account of those things. I told the kids this morning, I said, everything that you type out on that tiny little screen, you are going to be held just as accountable for as if you were on the town square here shouting it to the masses. There is no difference between digital life and real life. They're one and the same now. We need to make sure that we're drilling that into our kids' heads. And when I talk about privacy, I use this illustration as like a bucket of feathers. Very windy, blustery day outside today, right? If you were to take a bucket of feathers outside, what was going to happen to that bucket of feathers? Feathers are just going to go everywhere. They're going to go everywhere. They're going to get caught up in cars. They're going to get caught up in bushes and trees. They're going to get caught up in all sorts of things. Is there any chance that you could get all of those feathers back in that bucket? Well, maybe. If you were like a track star, maybe. But there's probably a good chance that you're not going to get all those feathers back into that bucket. And I tell this illustration because once you put something out on the internet, no matter if it's in Snapchat as a private message that self-destructs, on Facebook Messenger, on WhatsApp, over encrypted email, it doesn't matter what you have put it. Once you put something out there, it is out there. And that data, which is that's all it is, can be copied, it can be redistributed, it can be used against you. And our children are naive into thinking that what they do on their devices is sometimes private and sometimes protected. And that's an illusion. When we think about those things, we need to understand and we need to teach our kids. Nothing is hidden from primarily, obviously, the sight of God. But also, everything that you put on the internet, we're going to be called to give an account for that. And nothing is hidden. Nothing is private. So as we end this morning, I want to go and talk about a few things that you can do at home today. In conclusion, this morning, we're going to have a lot more information this afternoon and talking about all sorts of different aspects of internet safety. And I hope that you'll join us this afternoon. But if you want to go home today and you want to do these things today, you can write these things down. You can go to my website, and I'll tell you that a little bit later here this afternoon of where you can go to download these slides and presentations. But when you go home today, the first thing that you can do is you can get out a legal pad, put a line down the center, and you can make a list of devices in your home that access the internet. You might be surprised how many devices access the internet. There's refrigerators that access the internet now. I don't know why, but they do. And so think about all those devices. Think about your business phone. Maybe you think about your personal cell phone. Maybe you think about your DVR, your TV, your smart TV, any kind of box that you have connected to your TV. You might be incredibly surprised how many devices can access the internet in your home. And then on that second column of that legal pad, you put what kind of parental controls you have set. If there's none, put none. If there's some, obviously put some. But think about that, and that will help you get a broad picture of what you need to do and how you need to plan the internet, at least in your home. I have home computer. Have your home computer in a public place. There may or may not be such a thing as a home computer anymore. It may be an iPad that you have from your school. It may be a Chromebook that you have from your school. It may be something that they need to do, but they need to be in a public place. They need to be in the living room where you can see the screen. Back when I grew up, it was kids were not supposed to have TVs in the rooms. That's what I've heard from so many moms. Well, I wish I wouldn't have let my kids have TVs in the rooms. Well, now it's I don't want them to have phones or devices in their rooms. This next one kind of connects with that. And the teens are not going to be very happy about this one if you implement this rule in your home. But take up all devices at bedtime. The most troublesome hours when kids get in the most trouble is the hours of 3 to 5 in the afternoon because they're doing homework. And the parents may not be home from school or from work yet. And so they get distracted and look at things or see things or communicate things that they shouldn't. And then the other time is actually, believe it or not, 1 to 2 a.m. in the morning. I can't tell you how many times I've had a mother or a father tell me a story. In fact, one woman told me a story not too long ago about her daughter. And they got a doorbell rang at 1:30 in the morning. It was pouring down rain like it is today. The woman basically shoved the phone in the mother's face and said, "Why is your son sending my daughter pictures like this?" Kids do not need any kind of access on their phones from the hours of 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. They just don't, because they would find all sorts of different ways to get into trouble with that. And so there's devices that we're going to talk about today that you can just shut off the internet to those devices for that amount of time, but you can also take up your device at bedtime. Kids argue with me sometimes, especially when we went to church camps and things like that. They'd say, "Well, I need an alarm clock in the morning." Well, you can wake up just like I woke up in grade school, and that's with that old buzzer alarm clock. You know what I'm talking about. You can wake up that, and they're $9 at Walmart. So go ahead and get you one. Look for previous evidence if you have to. If you have reason to believe, or if you've had trouble with internet safety in the past, if you have reason to believe those different things, you need to be checking up and looking for previous evidence. You need to be aware of some suspicious apps as well. If you see an app on your kid's phone screen, and you should be checking on your phone, kid's phone screen every other day at least, you need to make sure that you ask those hard questions. "Hey, where did you get this app and what does it do? Why don't I know about this app? How did you download this? Who told you about this?" And then that last one, live life online no differently than in real life. We have this separation sometimes that we think that what we do and say on the internet doesn't matter. That we can say anything that we would say, and we may not ever say that to a person's face. We would never say that to a person's face, but we'll type it out on a tiny keyboard on our little smartphone screen all day long. And that's not right. We need to make sure that we're living the same life online and that we live no differently than our real lives, especially our spiritual lives here at church. This morning has not exactly been evangelistic in origin, but if this morning you have found yourself as a parent that needs help, as a parent that needs prayers from the church, you can come forward this morning and we can pray for you. If your spiritual life is not where it should be, if you're not on the right path, you can get back on that path this morning. Or if you want to be baptized this morning, you want to say that "I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and that He died for my sins." If you want to say those things this morning, we can baptize you this morning. The water behind me is ready. Why don't you come now this morning while we stand and while we sing?